الله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم، صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we are near Ramadan. Ramadan is approaching fast. But before touching on the matter of Ramadan, I would like to touch upon the seerah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are here sat in a mashallah beautiful masjid which the people of Lancaster built, and they work very hard on it, alhamdulillah. May Allah Ta'ala accept from all the people of Lancaster and whoever contributed to it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the beginning of Nubuwa, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that from the people of Yathrib, from Medina Munawwara, that we discuss with our brothers the Ansar that until what time will we allow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go and meet people and try to convince about the prophethood. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to people's house. Musnad Ahmad, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he used to say, "May you win, call mujhe thikana dega, who will give me place? May yansuruni, who would help me?" And to some people who he used to say that may yakhrujuni may ila qawmihi, who would take me to his tribe, hatta ablugha risalata rabbi, until I manage to convince people to accept Islam. And if you read the tariq, the seerah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba traveled to Habasha. The hijrat was there. Twice they went there. But with the nusrah was not there. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not move there. And the first time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Sahaba Ikram from Yathrib, it was called Yathrib at that time, were six youngsters who had come for Hajj. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met them behind the Jamarat, in the darkness of Jamarat, because he used to meet them, those people, so that they don't get any harm from Quraysh in the darkness of the night. And that was, I will just make it short, that was the year of Amul Huzn, the year of grief. Because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had just come out from Sha'bi Abi Talib, from the boycott of Abu Talib, and as he has come out, elderly people cannot bear all the difficulties, especially when the food is very rare. So first Abu Talib passed away. Then Khadijat, after a few days, Khadijat al-Kubra passed away. So that was Amul Huzn, the year of grief. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to travel to Taif. And the Safar of Taif is narrated many times in Kutub al-Hadith. But when he returned under the protection of Ibn Dabira, so he felt more alone. So once Abu Bakr came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a prophet of Allah, it seems that in Mina there is a big tribe who has arrived because of the lamps and the light and the fire which they are making to cook food. So let's go there. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu there. And when he arrived there, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked them, "Which tribe are you?" So they said, Banu Shayban ibn Tha'laba. Shayban ibn Tha'laba's children. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu told the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, this tribe is on the par of Quraysh, on the same level of Quraysh. So if they accept Islam, then nobody would touch them. So the leaders who were sat there, he asked them, "Who are you?" So one of them said, "Mafruq ibn Amr." Second one said, "Hani ibn Qabisa." So he said, Abu Bakr asked, "Where is your leader?" "Shurahbil ibn Hasan." So he asked, they said, "He has gone around for some work, and he would return later." So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, told the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Prophet of Allah, give the da'wah, your da'wah, to these people. And if they accept, half the battle is won, because they are on the same level as Quraysh." So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his da'wah. And Sahaba Ikram and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used always to give da'wah by the Quran. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Surah Fatiha and then explained to them what he was saying. So they said, "O Muhammad ibn Abdullah, you are saying something which is amazing, but we would prefer to rely on our leader. So when Shurahbil ibn Hassan arrived, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him about his da'wat and the same matter he discussed with him. So Shurahbil ibn Hassan told the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad ibn Abdullah, whatever you are saying is amazing, but we are living at the border of the Persian Empire. And any tribe in the whole of Arabia, we would be able to compete with them. But we will be able to compete with them. But the Persian Empire, we cannot compete with them. The level of the authority of the Persian Empire, which was even greater than the Roman Empire, we could see it when the Persian king sent two people to Medina Munawwara to call the Holy Prophet. No king, no leader was able to refuse it. Why? Because the Persian Empire would send an army to take revenge if that person does not accept. So Shurahbil ibn Hassan said this. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam fully. So we cannot accept that you remain under the governorship of the Persian Empire. Shurahbil ibn Hassan used to cry when after 7-8 years in Amul Wufud, he came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and became Muslim. And he was one of the people who managed to destroy the Persian Empire. But he used to regret that if I would have accepted the da'wah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the whole Jama'at would have come to our tribe. So that was grief after grief after grief on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, but Nabi kabhi himmat nahi aate. Nabi never, they just, their courage is very high. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night traveled in the middle of the night towards the Jamarat. And he saw six people. And those people, we don't even remember their name. But those people are the reason we traveled to Medina Munawwara. And if you look at the Kutub of Tariq, you see that youngsters change a situation and create revolutions. The eldest from them was As'ad ibn Zurara, who was 21 years old. Second one was Abu al-Haytham ibn Tayhan. He was between 16 and 17 years old. The third one was Uqba ibn Amir. Same. Then Qutbah ibn Amir. Fifth one was Rafi' ibn Malik ibn Ajlan. And sixth one was Abdullah ibn Jabir ibn Riyab. Not Abdullah ibn Jabir, the other Sahabi. Those six Sahabi accepted Iman on the hand of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and returned, when they returned to Medina Munawwara, to Yathrib at that time. The next year, they brought 12 people. And those 12 people, when they went back, they asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to choose one muallim. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
When Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived in Yathrib, he was staying at As'ad ibn Zurarah's house. Remember those names, As'ad ibn Zurarah, Abu al-Haytham ibn Tayhan, Uqba ibn Amir, Qutba ibn Amir, Rafi' ibn Malik ibn Ajlan, and Abdullah ibn Jabir ibn Riyab, those six Sahabi. So when Mus'ab ibn Umayr arrived in Medina Munawwara and was staying, they started khususi mulaqat. That is khususi mulaqat which Jamaat people do. They used to go to people house and discuss with them one by one, no matter who, how many people were there. Sa'd ibn Mu'az was a leader of his tribe. That there were two tribes in Medina Munawwara, in Yathrib. Aus, the leader was Sa'd ibn Mu'az. And Khazraj, the leader was Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sa'd ibn Mu'az, once he saw one leader of a sub-tribe of Medina Munawwara, Usayd ibn Hudayr, came in to him. So he said, why don't you deal with this person who has come from Makkah Mukarramah? And he's leading astray our youngsters and our feeble-minded people. So, and then Sa'd ibn Mu'az told him that because As'ad ibn Zurara is my cousin, Khala Zadbai, the son of my Khala, my auntie, I cannot deal with him. Why? Because the rule of Arabia, if one person from one family give protection to another person, then the whole tribe cannot touch him. The whole family cannot touch him. So Usayd ibn Hudayr came out, took his sword, and arrived towards Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umayr, and As'ad ibn Zurara was sat next to him. And they were sat in a garden in Qabila Banu Abdul Ashhal, in a garden of Banu Abdul Ashhal. So when As'ad ibn Zurara saw Usayd ibn Hudayr coming, then he told Mus'ab, the Safir of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teacher who was sent by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Mus'ab, this is a leader of his tribe. If he accepts whatever you say, then a lot of work is completed. So Usayd ibn Hudayr arrived and told them, if you want to keep your life, go out of this city, or else I'll deal with him. And he has his sword. So Mus'ab ibn Umayr told him that why don't you listen to me? I have a better proposition. So he replied, what is the proposition? You listen to me. If you like it, you accept it. If you don't like it, then I will leave this city and never return. Da'iku apni da'wat par yaqeen hona chahiye. A da'i should have belief on his da'wah. So Mus'ab ibn Umayr said this. So he said, fair enough. He sat down with his sword. He put it into the ground, into the sand. And then Mus'ab ibn Umayr started his bayan, his da'wah. He said, whatever you are saying is amazing. I would like to enter Islam. So then he accepted Islam. He returned back to Sa'd ibn Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala and managed to persuade him to accept Islam. Now when Sa'd ibn Mu'az accepted Islam, then he went to his tribe and told them that was the difference between the Aus, the Ansar, and the other tribe who were living in Medina Munawwara. Sa'd ibn Abdullah ibn Salam was completely different. Sa'd ibn Mu'az went to his tribe in the afternoon and told them, I have accepted Islam and I want you to accept Islam, you all to accept Islam. Before Maghrib, everybody, every man, and every lady should accept Islam. Before Maghrib. Which is, Yusuf, an amazing thing to say. Before Maghrib, the whole tribe of Aus had become Muslim. And then, Saadi, except one person. That person did not accept Islam. And why? Because he had loaned a lot of money to different people. And the interest of it, he was waiting for it. So if he accepts Islam, interest is, will not be, he could not claim the money, the interest back. So the other Ausi used to despise him so much that they didn't want him to come near him. But the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrati Abu Bakr, Hazrati Abu Huraira used to ask, "Man dakhal al jannah wa lam yusalli salatan wa lam ya'mal amalan?" Who entered Jannah and he did not pray one salah and he did not do one amal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi, Hazrati Abu Huraira used to ask his student. So that person, he came to Medina Munawara once later on during the time of Ghazwa Uhud and so that the whole tribal community, his tribe, house, every house is empty. So he asked people, Munafiqeen, they said everybody is a Nuhat. So he went there, went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and asked him, O Prophet of Allah, A uslimu thumma uqatil, am uqatil thumma uslim? Do I become Muslim, then I enter into battle fray? Or do I enter into battle and then become Muslim? The Holy Prophet ﷺ said to him, Aslim, thumma qatil. Become Muslim, then fight. So, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he accepted Islam. When he entered the battle, all his house, all his people of his tribe, used to tell him, go out, why are you coming? You have come for Asabiyya, for your tribal connection, and we don't want you with us. But he did not say anything. And when the count of the people who become Shaheed was made, he was one of them. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّي صَلَاتًا وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا. He entered Jannah. He did not pray once. He did not pray. Remember Allah at all. So, what was his name? His name is his laqab. His nickname was Al Usayrim, and his name was Amr ibn Thabit ibn Waqash. Amr ibn Thabit ibn Waqash al-Usayrim. Read once Surah Qul Huwa Allah or Unko Unpar Bakhshdo. These are the sacrifice of the Sahaba. Then the leader of Aus went to the leader of Khazraj, Sa'd ibn Ubada, and convinced him that you have to accept Islam. When Sa'd ibn Ubadah accepted Islam, the whole of Khazraj became Muslim. So now the ground was made for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is the riwayah which I was mentioning, that the people of Yathrib decided that until when shall we still keep the status quo? And until when shall we allow our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go to people's house and to say, "Man yansuruni, may yuqbiluni ila qawmi," who would accept him, me in my tribe, in his tribe, may yuwini, who will give me space, may yansuruni, who will help him. No, we should not accept this. This is why then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they went, the next year, they went 72 people there. and then they gave the da'wah to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, because of the nusra of the people of Yathrib, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to travel to Medina Munawwara. So today I was reading some different matters and something came on my desk I want to share with you. That when the tribe of Banu Jahash decided to migrate to Medina Munawwara, so they all migrated. Abu Sufyan took all their land, took all their houses. So Abdullah ibn Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, O Prophet of Allah, O Prophet of Allah, Abu Sufyan has taken our land, our houses, everything. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, let it be, let it go, and you will get a better house, better land in Jannah. So Abdullah ibn Jahash accepted it. In Fath Makkah, after many years, when the whole tribe of Banu Jahash arrived to Makkah Mukarramah, who is Abdullah ibn Jahash? Abdullah ibn Jahash is the brother of Zainab bint Jahash, the wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the whole tribe arrived in Makkah Mukarramah during Fath Makkah, another brother who was called Abd and he was renowned by Abu Ahmad, another brother of Zainab, went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, O Prophet of Allah, O Prophet of Allah, shall we not take back our land and our houses? So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne jawab nahi diya. Did not reply. So when he returned back to his people and different sahaba, the other sahaba told him that it seems that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not like that you take this land and those houses back. So then Abu Ahmad said a poem which was amazing. This is why I wanted to share it with you. أبلغ أبا سفيان عن أمر أباقبه ندامة. Let it be known to Abu Sufyan that this matter, the result and the end of it is regret. أبلغ أبا سفيان عن أمر أواقبه ندامة. دار ابنك بعتها. Your cousin, he was a cousin of Abu Sufyan. Your cousin's house, you sold it. And that is what is happening with our land, our houses in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. People take it. Then when they take it, they don't keep it with them. They sell it, then that seller sells to another person. So that at the end, when the original owner arrived from England or South Africa or wherever, then the matter is so difficult, there are so many buyers and sellers that it's nearly impossible unless and until he stays there for 6-8 months and fight with every, goes to a court and fight with every buyer and seller until he gets his land back. So Dara ibni amnika bi'ataha taqdi biha anka al-gharama. You pay your damages, your fines, and anything you need to give to people, you, but that land, you paid all those. But don't worry, he says. Idhab biha, take this land. Tuwiqtaha tuqal hamama. There's a hadith which says من أخذ شبرا من أرض توق بها يوم القيامة. If a person takes this amount of land in long land like that, on the day of judgment, it will be a collar made around his neck. So this is what he mentioned, that he said, idhab biha, tuwiqtuha, tuq al-hamama. It will be, you will be collared around your neck, like the collar of a pigeon. If a pigeon is white and there is a red color around his neck, you can never remove it. In the same manner, if somebody takes somebody's land, then this is what would happen on the day of judgment. This is why Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hassan Saab, when he used to take oath of allegiance from people, he would say that hum toba karte hain agar humne kisi ki zameen harab kar li ho. We do toba and we repent to Allah if we have taken somebody's land or somebody's house. So if somebody knows people, many relatives, this happens a lot, who have taken land, then try to dissuade them and try to give them the land back. So after many sacrifices, deen came to us. Now what should we do during Ramadan? So during Ramadan, fasting. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Because Quran was revealed on this day. Musnad Ahmad narrates from Wathila ibn al-Asqa that the Sahaif of Ibrahim alayhi salam came on the first of Ramadan. The chapters and the books of Ibrahim alayhi salam came on the first of Ramadan. On the sixth of Ramadan, Tawrat came. And 6 days after each one of them. Then on the 12th of Ramadan, Zabur came. And Hazrat Jabir, in the riwayat of Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the 18th of Ramadan, Injil came, Bible came. And on the 24th of Ramadan, the Quran was revealed. Meaning every 6 days, 1, 6, 12, 18, 24. Quran, Kitab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed. But the difference between the previous Kitab and the Kitab of the Quran is that the Quran, the other Kitab was revealed once. Sahaif of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Tawrat, Zabur, Injil, all of them was revealed once. And the Quran was revealed from Baytul Ma'mur to the dunya, to the first Asman, the first sky, once. Then in 23 years, slowly was the Quran was revealed. This riwayah, Ibn Kathir has mentioned it in Bidayah wa Niyayah. And it means that Quran has got a very good link with this month. All the Kutub-e Samawiyah have got a lot of links. This is why during Ramadan, one read the Quran as much as possible. But do not try to overdo it. When we do i'tikaf, I started a few years ago to tell the students, how much should we read? I said, 2 ajza per day. 2 per day. The next year, I said, 5 per day. Then we went to 8 per day. Now, many do 10 per day. Slowly increase. But I always tell them, do as much as you can bear. Tabiyat kharab na ho jaye. So one, try to read Quran as much as possible. Number two, during the day we are reading, we are having fasting, so we should refrain from ghibat. Because ghibat breaks the fast spiritually, not actually, but spiritually. Number three, pray Isha with Jama'ah and pray Fajr with Jama'ah. If somebody prays Isha with Jama'ah, half the night is considered as ibadah. And the other half is when you pray Fajr with Jama'ah. So it is better the whole month you do that than stay awake one night for the 27th of Ramadan. So the third thing, first thing, try to read Quran as much. Number two, try to pray Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr with Jama'ah. Number third, we should all try to do wudu before sleeping. Because Ibn Hibban has narrated that if a person does wudu before sleeping and Allah Ta'ala put a farishta, an angel at his bedside and he makes dua for him the whole night. And when he wakes up, that angel tells his creator, Wallah, forgive him because he has spent the whole night in the state of purity. So the third thing to do is to do wudu before sleeping. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. It's not difficult. Before going, then in the middle of the night, obviously when you sleep, the wudu is broken. But because you have started with wudu, then it is accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, when your eyes open, there's a hadith which says that a mu'min, when his eyes opens and he asks any dua, that dua will be accepted. To koi bhi raat ke aadhe hisse mein aankh khule, to jo hai koi dua mang lene ki, wo dua qabool zarur hoti. So that is the third thing. Number four, do not have ill feeling for anybody. Because in the big nights and in the same manner, Allah forgives those people who have no ill feeling with anybody. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi has written ke sone se pehle main har ek ko maaf kar deta hu. I forgive everybody. The hadith, it says that alcoholic, his dua is not accepted. Anybody who disobeys his parents, his dua is not accepted. And any person who has ill feeling with somebody, his dua is not accepted. Number fifth is repent from sins. Gunahon se toba karna. The condition for repenting from sins is that first, you make the niyyah, I will not return to it. Second, you ask forgiveness from Allah. And third, you remain steadfast on it. But if by any chance or by habit you return to that sin, return back to Allah. And slowly, slowly, ask from Allah, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Wallah, do not only forgive my sin, but change it to hasanat, to good deeds. And this is the Quran says, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Look at the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Another thing to do, number six, I think, is to do zikr of Allah as much as possible. And one zikr, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. The last hadith which is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, kalimatani habibatani ila rahman thaqilatani fil mizan khafifatani ala lisan, This is very heavy on the scale, but very hard, light to say. Try to say it 100 times per day. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Very easy. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah forgives the sins وَلَوْ كَانَ مِثْلَ الزَّبَدِ الْبَحْرِ, even if it is like the Zabadul Bahr, that like the foam of the sea, that Allah forgive his sins. So it depends from sin, and Allah Ta'ala accept the tawbah of a person, and Allah Ta'ala is very happy with the tawbah of a person when he does tawbah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another, number 7, salawatun nabi ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should try to do salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as possible. And I have looked for many salawat in kutubi ahadith. One set of salawat which I will mention. I found it from the Mashaykh Qadriya from Egypt. And from there, it's long qasida, very long. I chose 4 for akhirah, 4 for dunya, and 1 for hifadat, 1 for protection. 4 for dunya and for akhirah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Salatan taghfiru biha dhunubana. Allah send salawat on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By the barakat of it, forgive all our sins. So, and the salawat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are always accepted. Or Allah ki zaat se ye ba'id hai ki wo durood qabul kare aur aapki dua qabul na kare. It is very far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he accept the durood, because he always accept the salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not accept your dua. So Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, salatan taghfiru biha dhunubada. The second one, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, salatan tunawwiru biha wujuhana. Wallah, by the barakat of this durood, put nur on our faces. We need it for this dunya, we need it for akhirah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recognize his ummati by the nur of the face. Ghurra muhallad jalin min atharil wudu, because of the wudu. So Allah put nur on our faces so that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam take us to Jannah. The third one, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, salatan tutahhiru biha qulubana. Allah, by the barakat of this durood, clean and purify our heart. قلب السليم هي جنة میں جائے گا. The heart which is purified, that only will enter Jannah. Or else she'll have to enter Jahannam. Then when it is purified, enter Jannah. So Allahumma, by the barakat of this durood, O Allah, purify our heart. And then Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, salatan tuzakki biha nufusana. Wallah, purify our souls. Why? Because Quran says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَالْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Anybody who purified his soul is successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And anybody who made his soil dirty, meaning by gunah, by zina or whatever, then وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He will not be successful. So Allah, purify our soul. So by these 4 one, maghfirat, nur on the face, purification of the heart and purification of the soul, a person enter Jannah. Then for dunya, so if we read this Durud Sharif 11 times, it takes us 10 minutes. So for dunya, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, salatan tashfi biha maridana. Wallah, by the barakat of this durood, give shifa to our ill people. Every family has got somebody who is ill. Allahumma, the next one, number 6, Number five. Number six, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Salatan tuwassi'u biha arzaqana. Wallah put barakah in our rizq by the barakat of this durood. We are running here and there working all our life for what? For barakah, for rizq. So Allah put barakah in it. So a little sustenance is enough for a lot. Then Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad salatan tuaddi biha duyunana. Everybody in this country is indebted, they have the debt. Why? Because they buy houses, they buy cars. And so Allah, by the barakat of this durood, make it easy for us to repair our loan. And then another durood sharif, that's the eighth one. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad salatan tuyassiru biha umurana. Make all our matters easy. Driving tests, A-levels, GCSEs, any business which we have started, anything, to Allah, make it easy, simplify it. And the last one, I have specially joined a few words in it. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad salatan tahfaduna biha. Wallah, protect our life, our family, our extended family, our houses, our business, or whatever we have got in our countries, or whatever. Why? Because now people, just for a simple reason, they'll demolish the house or whatever. So Allah, protect us, our way of life, our extended family, wa madarisana wa masajidana wa makatibana. And our madaris, which we have established in this country, the masajid, which we have established, and the makatib, the small makatib which we are running in the evening. And if you read the news, then there are discussion to regulate it as well. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to acquire the barakat of Ramadan. And if we do a little, Allah will accept it. There is a saying, Mashayikh have said, "Ya rahmati haq." Bahanami joyat, rahmati haq, bahanami joyat. The rahmat of Allah, the mercy of Allah, do not want from you a lot of things. He just wants an excuse to forgive you. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to find that excuse by which Allah Ta'ala forgive us. May Allah Ta'ala accept our ibadat from now on till Ramadan, and our praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan. And may Allah ta'ala protect our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. In Gaza, it's so difficult to even listen to what's happening there. May Allah ta'ala forgive us all for not being able to do anything. When the Sahaba ikram, they were completely different. And our weakness, is such that a lot of people can't, our leaders can't even speak anything. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to remember our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Sudan, in different parts of the world where they are in a lot of difficulties. And may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do shukr for all the ni'mah which we have got in this country. We have got everything in this country. This is why la in shakartum la zidannakum wa in kafartum inna adhabi la shadid. We should try to make the shukr of Allah as much as possible, and protect, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from complaining on small matters. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. يا الله ماري تمام غناهكم وعف فرما ماري سيئاتكم وحسناتكم سي مبدل فرما يا الله رمضان کے برکات سے ہمیں مستفید ہونے کی توفیق عطا فرما. Give us the توفیق to earn as much barakat of Ramadan as possible. Wallah, ziyada se ziyada teri taraf mutawajjih ہونے کی توفیق عطا فرما. Give us the توفیق to remain towards you in the whole of Ramadan. Ya Allah, ایک ہی تو مہینہ ہے یا اللہ، اس میں تجھے یاد کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. دس از اونلی ون منتھ و اللہ گیو اس دی توفیق ٹو ریممبر یو ایز مچ ایز پاسبل و اللہ ایون لیڈیز و اللہ مے اللہ تعالیٰ گیو دا مین دی توفیق ٹو to lessen the burden of cooking and wallah give us all the tawfiq to remember Allah, men or ladies, in this blessed month of Ramadan. Wallah ta'ala, wallah give us the tawfiq to attend Taraweeh as much as possible. Give us the tawfiq to fast in this month. Give us the tawfiq to pray tahajjud during the month of Ramadan. In other months we are very lazy. Ya Allah, give us all the tawfiq to find some time, to try to find some time from our busy life, and to find to sometimes to remember all those people who are in difficulties. Wallah, give us the tawfiq to remember those people, especially the people of Gaza, especially the people of Sudan, especially the people of different part of the world who by no fault of themselves come under the difficulties, and who are born in the wars between different people. Wallah ta'ala, accept our dua. Wallah, hamari duaon ko qabool farma aur hame apne nek bandon mein shamil farma. Make us from all those people who are very near you and whom you accept in your eyes. Wallah ta'ala, make us from them. Ya Allah, hamari duaon ko nabiy kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke sadqe tuqbil qabool farma. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
سنة في دعواتكم الصالحة.